Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Sorek City Council. Wednesday, October 8th, 2014, 6 p.m. on the hearing regarding Daniel Bailey. This will be an open hearing and we're not going to executive session. Before we start, I've got a formatted letter here I'd like to read out. Before I do that, I'd like to ask everybody, if you have a cell phone, please turn it off and put it on vibrate one or the other. We want to make sure it's fair to everybody so we can hear what's going on. There will not be any public comment at all. Actually, it will be between the attorneys. Chief Harrison will be handling the comments. With that being said, good evening once again. Sorek City Code Section 2-130 provides that upon receipt of agreements regarding employee dismissal, the mayor will schedule a meeting to hear an appeal. So now we're conducting such a grievance, hearing the request of Daniel Bailey, who was dismissed as a Sorek police officer by Chief Troy Harrison. At the conclusion of this hearing, the City Council will render a final and binding decision on Mr. Bailey's appeal. City Council is empowered to deny or sustain the appeal. If Council sustains Mr. Bailey's appeal, the decision initiated by Chief Harrison will be reversed. If Council denies the appeals or takes no action to sustain the appeal, the discipline initiated by Chief Harrison will not be reversed. City Code does not provide Council with the authority to direct another lesser discipline action in lieu of dismissal. Mr. Bailey is represented by Mr. Greg Cagle, and the city is represented by Mr. Norman Giles. In accordance with the provision, the City Code, Mr. Bailey has provided the written reasons for his dismissal and will be allowed during this proceeding to question Chief Harrison himself or through his representative. In a moment, Chief Harrison will provide a brief explanation as to what led him to recommend the dismissal of Mr. Bailey. Thereafter, Mr. Bailey or Mr. Cagle will have the opportunity to ask questions of Chief Harrison. Mr. Giles, on behalf of the city, will also have an opportunity to ask questions of Chief Harrison. During and after the testimony of the witnesses, council members may ask for their own clarification. Council is asked, however, to only ask questions related to the testimony given and refrain from making statements. After the witness is dismissed, council will dismiss and deliberate the facts presented and may make statements on the opinion. The review process the city provides employees does not change the fact the employment with the city is entered into a voluntary and the employment relationship between the city and the employee is at will and may be terminated by either the city or the employee at any time with or without cause. Council sets overall policy for the city, but the chief of the police is entrusted with the management of the police officers and the operation of the police department. It is, therefore, the chief's duty to maintain both morale and discipline in the department, as those who enforce the law, police officers, are held to a high standard. In addition to the city's personnel policy, officers must comply with departmental policies and standing orders. In order to perform the duty that council has bestowed upon the chief of police, he has must have discretionary authority to take reasonable disciplinary actions to the level of severity, he deems necessary to maintain order within his department, provided he does not take action outside the limits of the authority that council has granted him. Dismissal appeal process before council protects the employee by ensuring that the chief of police has not exceeded the legitimate bounds of his discretionary authority. The question before council tonight is whether Chief Harrison thoroughly investigated available relevant factual information regarding the allegations of misconduct made by Mr. Bailey and disciplinary initiated by the chief is suitable under the evidence discovered during the chief's investigation. If the council finds the answer to this question is no, it should sustain Mr. Bailey's appeal and his discharge will be reversed. If the council finds the answer to this question is yes, it should deny Mr. Bailey's appeal. Chief Harrison, you may proceed.
Thank you. Mayor and council.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry, Chief. It's my mistake. I need to call order. I apologize. The roll call real
quick. Nancy Chanel present.
Neil Lawyer here.
Bo Bunker present.
Rick Moses present.
Richard Adams present.
Mike Weaver present.
Thank you. Next line of business, order of business. This is going to be an open hearing. Good to proceed, Chief. I apologize for my mistake.
Mayor and Council, I have the task this evening of presenting information on the city's behalf to support the termination of employment of Danny Bailey. My intent is to keep it simple and present facts in the case that support the actions taken by the city. I was appointed chief in January of this year. I was tasked by then-Mayor Matt Weber to correct the deficiencies within the department and lead the department into a new era, providing leadership to the officers, enabling the department to move forward. Having just come out of a period of uncertainty that was within the department, I knew the challenge would be a tough one, and I knew there would be a long travel forward as we worked to build a professional, ethical department of officers. What I did not anticipate at that time was that one of the officers, who I call my friend, and one that I've known for over 20 years, would be charged by the Harris County District Attorney's Office with theft by a public servant, a Class A misdemeanor. The charge by itself may not be the sole reason for termination, but a subsequent internal affairs investigation did reveal violations of city policy, rules, and regulations. On March 28th through the 30th, 2014, this year, Danny Vela attended a fire school in College Station, Texas. Prior to attending that school, Mr. Vela requested advanced funds for training for both the cities of Pasadena and Shore Acres. The requested funds from the city of Pasadena were for mileage, meals, and lodging, and the requested funds from the city of Shore Acres was for mileage and meals. Upon his return from the training, Danny Vela made no attempt whatsoever to return funds in excess of the authorized amount he was entitled to. In simple terms, Mr. Vela collected monies from two separate government entities for the same reason and made no attempt to return any unauthorized monies. To this day, the monies are still owed to the city of Shore Acres that were in excess. Prior to approving the monies for the school, representatives from neither city were aware that Mr. Vela was requesting monies from the other for the same specific reason. These actions by Mr. Vela led to the investigation by the Harris County District Attorney's Office. That resulted in criminal charges being filed and Mr. Vela's later arrest on those charges. The subsequent internal affairs investigation concluded that Mr. Vela had violated the City of Shore Acres Police Department Rules and Regulations Manual, Chapter 3, Section 6.1 and 6.12, Chapter 4, Section 7.3, and Chapter 8, 28.1.4. These findings were concluded after a lengthy investigation, which included Mr. Vela admitting that he received the funds from both cities for the same specific reason, and after offering Mr. Vela ample opportunities to refute the charges. By Mr. Vela's actions of receiving unauthorized funds, he was investigated and a warrant issued for his arrest. Once arrested, he was placed on paid administrative leave from the department, leaving this small department understaffed. His actions certainly brought discredit to him, to the department, and to the city of Shore Acres, Texas. In closing, I'd like to point out that leading a police department is not real difficult when you have law and order within the department. That is the reasoning behind having a rules manual. When rules are ignored and bad judgment is the norm, departments become unruly, and eventually trust is lost in that community. I strive to maintain order, having a system of fairness, but to not turn my head when friends are the ones behaving in an unethical fashion. While the monies in question may not seem like much at $280, the fact is this money was about one-tenth of my training budget. That training budget is very small anyway. When we lost the $280 out of it, it was a great impact. Mr. Vela received unauthorized monies which would have been used in the needed training of other officers. And I ask you to support me in the termination of Mr. Vela.
Thank you, Chief.
Mayor, can you close those blinds, please?
Mr. Cagle.
Yes, sir. Chief, I have a few questions for you. One, you said that he, meaning Vela, admitted to doing it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, he never denied anything, did he?
No, sir, he did not.
In fact, he was honest and forthright through the entire investigation, correct?
He provided honest answers for the most part, I believe, yes, sir.
He wasn't charged with untruthfulness or dishonesty, correct?
No, sir.
And that's a policy of the department. If he were to be dishonest or untruthful about anything he did, then he would have been sustained for that violation, correct?
That is correct.
And as far as the criminal charge goes, the complainant, victim, if you will, in that case, is the city of Pasadena, right?
That's correct.
It's not the city of Shore Acres, correct?
Yes, sir.
So after, and that's contained in your packet, that's the third page of your packet. So after the district attorney's office looked at the case, it was at least their opinion that if there was a theft, they believed it occurred from the city of Pasadena, not the city of Shore Acres, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And Mr. Vella, it was never a secret that he received money from Pasadena to attend the school, right? To you.
I understood he was receiving money for the registration to the school and the lodging from the city of Pasadena.
Okay. But you understood he was receiving money from Pasadena, right?
That's correct.
Did you ever investigate that the lodging always exceeded the amount of money that he was given for lodging in Pasadena?
The lodging wasn't so much in question as the mileage and the food.
And that's good information, but it's not what I'm asking you. My question is, did you investigate and learn that the lodging cost always exceeded what the city of Pasadena gave Mr. Vella?
I was aware of that, yes.
In fact, it exceeded it by $100, $150, $200 consistently over the years, didn't it?
I didn't look at it over several years, but I realized that it did it. This particular case.
Okay. And you've also told the council that how much this hurt your training budget, right?
Yes, sir.
Do you want him to fire him because it hurt your training budget, the theft that occurred from Pasadena?
I want them to sustain my termination because he took money from two separate government entities for the exact same thing, which is money out of the pocket that these officers need to be trained.
Well, how much mileage did he, Mr. Vella, receive to travel from his hotel to the fire school and back to his hotel and back to the fire school each day?
I'm not sure how he traveled.
Well, that's not my question. My question is, how much money did he get in mileage allowance to go from the hotel to the fire training academy and back to the hotel during the 3 days of the school?
I'm not sure. I don't believe he received any from the city of Shore Acres for that.
Okay, so the answer would be none, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you don't expect an employee to drive their own vehicle and not receive a mileage reimbursement, do you?
No, sir.
You made some mention of the money hadn't been paid back. Do you recall that?
Yes, sir.
Of course, we know from looking at your exhibits that the city of Shore Acres is not the complainant or the victim in the theft case, right?
Yes, sir.
Did you ever ask Mr. Miller to return the money to the city of Shore Acres?
No, sir, I did not.
Did you ever interview the fire chief or any of the fire administrators over at the city of Pasadena to ask them what their policy was with respect to giving these guys some money for the school?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And who did you talk to at the city of Pasadena?
David Brandon and Teresa White both.
And what's David Brandon's position?
He's a fire marshal.
But did you ever talk to the fire chief or someone with the fire department, not the fire marshal's office?
I spoke with Chief Lanny Armstrong early in the investigation.
Did you take a statement from Chief Armstrong?
No, sir.
Is there any indication, if I look through your report, that you spoke to Chief Armstrong?
No, sir.
Okay. And you would agree with me that police officers should document any interviews or any information they receive from witnesses, right?
Any pertinent interviews, yes, sir.
All right. That's what you're trained to do, correct?
Yes, sir.
In fact, if you talk to the fire chief at the Pasadena Fire Department, who's the complaining witness now in the criminal case, and he didn't have any valuable information, you probably put that in your report as well, right?
He offered no information. He referred me to Teresa White, who I did take a statement from.
And I appreciate that answer, but my question's different. My question is, if you interviewed the chief of the Pasadena Fire Department and he just didn't have any information one way or the other, that'd probably be important to know that you should put in your report, right?
He provided no information that was worthy of the report.
Well, did it surprise you that the chief of the department that pays for the training had no information on it?
He understood that they was also in a criminal investigation, too, and didn't want to speak.
That's not my question. And you had your chance to say whatever you wanted, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so my question is, did it surprise you that the chief of the agency had no information to provide on this case?
That did not surprise me.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Did you look at the hotel receipts in this case?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you notice the hotel receipts consistently exceeded the money that was allotted from the city of Pasadena?
Yes, sir.
Who made up the difference on that, if you know?
I'm not aware.
Okay. You don't have an expectation that your employees will have to come out of pocket to go to a school that you're requiring them to go to, right? That you approve.
There are normally standards for attending school, and you receive a set amount of money just based on GSA standards.
That's not my question, though. My question is, you don't, as a chief, have an expectation that your employees will have to come out of pocket to attend a school, do you?
I do.
You do expect them to pay out of pocket for that?
When it exceeds what the government gives them, yes, sir.
Okay. Is that somewhere in your policy that I could turn to that says you expect them to pay for it?
Probably not.
Any idea why the DA's office picked the city of Pasadena to be the complainant and not the city of Shore Acres?
I'm not aware.
I don't have any more questions. Thank you, Chief.
Sure, I have
a few questions.
Chief, as you've had an opportunity to look at the criminal complaint that was prepared by the Assistant District Attorney of the case?
Yes, sir.
I think you should look at that now. Now, does that criminal complaint, it says more than Mr. Vela's accused of stealing money from Pasadena, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell us a little bit about what it actually does say in the complaint.
Awful small font, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't want to challenge your eyes. Well, in the you have read the complaint before, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
Do you recall when you read the complaint before that the complaint actually talks about the money that was taken from the city of Shore Acres as well as money that was taken from the city of Pasadena?
That's correct.
So not only does that complaint deal with money taken from the city of Pasadena, it also deals with, is based upon money taken from the city of Shore Acres. That be correct?
That is correct.
And the complaint specifically states the amount of money that was taken from the city of Shore Acres that belongs to the city of Shore Acres, doesn't it?
That's correct.
And that's a criminal complaint that was prepared by the Harris County District Attorney's Office, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, you're asking a number of questions about whether the expenses for the school exceeded the amount of money given to Mr. Vela from the city of Pasadena. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir.
But I didn't hear the question about whether the expenses that Mr. Vela paid exceeded all the money he got from Shore Acres and Pasadena. Did you hear a question like that?
No, sir.
Well, if we ask that question, when we take the money that was paid to Mr. Vela from the city of Shore Acres and the city of Pasadena, was that more money than Mr. Vela paid for his training?
No, sir.
I'll make sure I understand that. So Mr. Vela paid more money to go to the training than he was reimbursed from both cities?
No, at the end of the day, he was given more resources than he spent.
Okay, great. I must have asked a bad question before. So when you add up all the amount of money that Mr. Vela was paid from the city of Pasadena, and you add up all the money that Mr. Vela was paid from the city of Shore Acres, was Mr. Vela paid more money than he had to pay to have his training?
According to the documents I've seen, that's correct.
Okay. And so Mr. Vela didn't have to pay for training out of his own pocket. He actually had to. He actually got paid fully by the cities and actually got $280 more dollars than he actually deserved to pay for the training. Isn't that true?
That is true.
Now, regardless of what the chief told you when you talked to the chief in Pasadena, you did talk to the person who actually handled the money over there, right?
That's correct.
And one of the people that Mr. Velas asked you to talk to get information about this was the person that handled the money in Pasadena. Isn't that right?
That is correct.
And when you went and asked the person in Pasadena the questions that Mr. Vela had asked you to ask, did you find out that Mr. Vela was providing information that was consistent with what the person in Pasadena told you, or was inconsistent with that?
That was very inconsistent.
To Mr. Vela, you basically, when you were doing your investigation, one of the ways that you acquired information was you got records from Harris County. Is that right?
That's true.
You also got records from the city of Pasadena, right?
Correct.
And from the city of Shore Acres, you got some records. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And then you basically looked at those records, and then you sent Mr. Velas several lists of questions that you had asking him to substantiate his conduct. Would that be accurate?
Yes, sir.
And when you asked Mr. Vela to tell you about the information that you needed to investigate further, did you follow up on the information that Mr. Vela provided to you?
I did.
And was one of the persons that Mr. Vela asked you to talk to also the person from Shore Acres that handles the money?
That is true.
And is the information that Mr. Vela provided to you in your investigation, was that consistent with the person from Shore Acres that gave you information, or did it conflict with the information that was given to you from the representative of Shore Acres that handled the money?
Conflicting information.
Did Mr. Vela give you any information during the investigation of this event that indicated that Mr. Vela did not commit the crime of stealing $280 from the city of Shore Acres?
No, sir.
Did you give Mr. Vela ample opportunity to give you some reason to justify his actions?
At least three opportunities.
Actually, you sent Mr. Vela one set of questions, and he gave you answers, and then you sent him a second set of questions and asked for answers, right?
That's correct.
And then you ask, I actually sent him a third set of questions and asked for answers, right?
That's correct.
And during the opportunity that you gave Mr. Vela to provide you information, did he provide you with information of any witness who he claimed had substantive information that you didn't speak with?
No, sir.
Did Mr. Vela provide you with any information about any records that he thought were important that you didn't go and start see?
No, sir.
Now, did you, would you characterize the responses that Mr. Vela gave you during the investigation as honest and forthright?
The way that the questions was answered, it was hard to ascertain whether they were honest or not. They were questions that needed more than a yes or no answer, and he provided me with very short answers when I was trying to get information out of him to help me with the investigation.
And so would it be fair to say that you asked open-ended questions in an effort to get him to give you information that you could go investigate?
Yes, sir.
And did Mr. Bailey give you narrative responses, or did he give you short answers?
Very short, brief answers to the questions.
Okay. And those short answers, you wouldn't characterize those as dishonest necessarily or lies, right?
Exactly.
And you couldn't do that because there was no substantive information. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And now, as part of responding to an administrative investigation, as part of the obligation of the officer to provide thorough information, not just to provide an answer to your question.
That's correct.
And especially in this kind of case where you're having to make a decision on whether an officer should remain with the department, is it important for the officer to give you information that you can rely on that makes you believe that he will be a good officer for the department in the future?
That's correct, and that's why I was so patient in his answers and went back to him several times, hoping that he would give me information.
Was it, did you, or one of the questions that you asked Mr. Vela, is that whether or not he believed his conduct violated city policy?
That's correct, that was the question.
And when you asked Mr. Vela, even after he knew that he'd been charged for committing theft, and even after he knew he was in the middle of this investigation, what did he tell you? Did he tell you he recognized that he violated the rules, or he still thought he didn't?
He never accepted responsibility for it and stated that he hadn't done anything wrong.
Now, if an officer that you want to work with you in this police department, would you expect that officer to be able to recognize when his conduct violates a rule?
Absolutely.
And if an officer can't recognize when his conduct violates a rule, do you have any reason to believe that he'll be able to conform his conduct to the rules of the department?
No, sir.
Is it important for you in running the department to have officers that you can rely on to recognize the rules and follow the rules?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any reason to believe that if Mr. Vela remains in the department, that he will conform his conduct to the rules of the department?
No, sir.
That's right.
How long did Mr. Vela work for the department?
I don't have his work record in front of Mr. Cagle. Over 10 years.
Okay. And so now all of a sudden you say he can't conform to the rules of the department, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How long did you work with Mr. Vela at the Shorecrest Police Department?
2 years. Almost 2 years.
And I've looked at his personnel file, I guess, to help me out. Was there anything ever in there saying prior to this incident you just couldn't trust Mr. Vela and can't follow the rules?
There are some things present.
No, I'm talking about from you.
From me?
Yes, sir.
No, sir.
Okay. Because that's what you're telling the council tonight, that you have a problem with them following the rules, right?
Yes, sir.
I want to talk to you for a minute about the investigation. It sounds like, and I guess correct me if I'm wrong, you have a complaint about the way Mr. Bell answered the questions. Well, your lawyer said it and you agreed with it, but the gist of it was, well, he answered the questions yes or no, and it was hard to tell this and that. You
yes,
recall that?
That is correct.
Okay, so I gather you're telling the council I was unhappy with his thoroughness, if you will, on the answers to the questions, right?
I think the situation was very grave. He was fighting for his job. I was trying to give him an opportunity to explain to me why he did what he did, and he answered me in very short sentences that I could not take any information from.
Okay, well, let's break it down for a second. You're the chief, right?
Yes, sir.
And if I work for you, if I'm Greg Cagle, patrolman, I have to answer your questions, right?
Yes, sir.
And you can send them to me in writing, right?
That's correct.
You can bring me in person and audio, video record it and just ask them in person, right?
Yes, sir.
And you can do all those things pretty much as many times as you want, can't you?
Yes, sir.
Until you're happy with the answers, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so in this case, you're standing here telling the counsel you weren't happy with the answers during the investigation, but you never brought Bella in and said, hey, this answer, this, clear this up. You never did that, did you?
I think that when I provided him the second set and the third set of questions, it was obvious I was trying to get to the truth on the answers.
But he's not charged with untruthfulness, right?
No, sir.
And if you weren't happy, you had the ability to do it orally. If the written questions weren't working, you could have brought him in and interviewed him, right?
Yes, sir.
Because when policemen interrogate suspects, you don't send... If you thought I robbed the bank over here, you wouldn't send me a list of questions and ask me to answer them, would you?
No, sir, but we're not talking about a criminal charge here either.
I understand, but we're talking about an investigative technique, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
You would bring me in as the bad guy and see if I would talk to you in an oral interview, wouldn't you?
On a criminal charge, I would.
Right, and that's just an investigation, correct?
Yes, sir.
And that's what this was an investigation, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, in one of the things your lawyer said you agreed with was that do you think the city of Shore Acres is the complaining witness on the criminal case? Is that what you're trying to tell the counsel?
No, sir.
The city of Pasadena is the complainant, right?
Yes, sir.
Because the city of Shore Acres might be mentioned down in the dicta, if you will, but the actual criminal complaint names Teresa White as the complainant, right?
That's correct.
And it says Daniel Vella is a public servant, a volunteer fireman, was Pasadena Fire Department, right?
Yes, sir.
It doesn't have anything to do with the city of Shore Acres or his position as the city of Shore Acres police officer, does it? The actual charge?
Like, it has everything to do with that.
Okay, I understand what you're getting at. I mean in the bigger picture, but I'm talking about the complaint, the actual criminal charge. It only concerns a theft from the city of Pasadena, doesn't it?
If all the concern was a theft from the city of Pasadena, I don't think we'd be sitting here today.
Well, did you call the DA's office and tell them they got it wrong?
No, sir.
Did you call them and tell them you had some complaint about the city of Shore Acres not being the complainant, that it was somebody else?
No, sir.
I'll pass the witness.
Chief, do you use reading glasses or...
How do we read this thing? We're going to have to look at this complaint.
Okay, they have it, right? Can you see you gave it to them?
They have it, and
I can read it.
Okay. Because I think it's important to have the actual charge that was made, not just the name of the person that's complaining.
Okay. AFN Steve Conroy is a certified peace officer employed by the Harris County District Attorney's Office, Public Integrity Division. AFN has reason to believe and does believe that on or about 3/14/14, Daniel Vela, hereafter defendant, did commit the misdemeanor offense of theft of a public servant, $50 through $300 in Harris County, Texas. Affiant's belief is based on the following facts. Affiant met with witness Harrison of the Shore Acres Police Department and witness Brandon of the Pasadena Volunteer Fire Department. Both witnesses reported that the defendant is a volunteer firefighter with the Pasadena Volunteer Fire Department, as well as an officer with the Shore Acres Police Department. Both agencies issued checks to the defendant for him to attend a training in College Station, Texas on 3/28/14 through 3/30/14. Upon reviewing the documentation, the witnesses discovered the defendant was paid by each agency for his meals and mileage cost. Defendant received each payment in Harris County, Texas. Specifically, witness Brandon of the Pasadena Volunteer Fire Department presented a copy of a Texas travel advance expense report that indicated that the defendant received $464 in the form of a check that was issued from his department to the complainant. To the defendant. The checks was issued to the defendant in Pasadena, Harris County, Texas on 3/14/14 by Pasadena City employee Teresa White, hereafter the complainant. Complainant stated to AFIN that the check was issued to the defendant in order for him to attend the training class on 3/28/14 through 3/30/14. Complainant stated that she had the defendant sign for the check and that he received the check into his hands. Defendant received the check into his hands in Pasadena, Harris County, Texas. Complainant stated that the check was made out to the defendant.
The check was endorsed by the defendant and was drawn from the City of Pasadena's account on 3/28/14. The paperwork indicated that $244 of this payment was made for the defendant's mileage and meals. Also, witness Chief Harrison presented the documentation that the defendant was issued fines by the Shore Acres Police Department in the amount of $280 for the defendant to attend the same training seminar from 3/28/14 to 3/30/14. Witness Chief Harrison presented documentation that these fines were designated for defendant to cover his meals and mileage and were issued to the defendant on 3/27/14 at Shore Acres, Harris County, Texas. These fines were issued to the defendant via check made out to him and was subsequently endorsed by the defendant and was drawn from the Shore Acres bank account on 3/28/14. Aiken observed that the defendant gave a voluntary statement where he admitted to receiving monies from both agencies for miles and mileage.
Chief, the word dicta, that's a lawyer word. You know that's a lawyer word?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what it means?
Say yeah.
Do you know what dicta means?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, do you find that the allegations regarding the money from the City of Shore Acres was relevant to the criminal charge brought?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's not some insignificant detail that doesn't mean anything, is it?
No, sir.
No matter how many times that you ask Officer Vela, or no matter how many different ways you might ask Officer Vela, can you compel him to give you substantive responses to questions?
No, sir.
Did you give Officer Vela ample opportunity to provide a defense of the allegations made against him?
I did.
Your counsel has a question.
This time over to counsel, if you have any questions for Chief Harrison. Nancy, I'll better start down there. Do you have any questions, ma'am?
Just for a point of clarification, Chief. It's my understanding you indicated that Officer Vela was not forthcoming. And if you look at item number 17 and 18 in the complaint that was dated August 14th of 14, the answers to control questions 1 and 2. One being if Teresa White was notified that Vela was getting money from Shore Acres, and he replied yes, and her reply was okay. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep, Mr. Vela's, or Officer Vela's statement. And then question two was that Annie Lithicum was made aware that he was receiving money from the City of Pasadena, and Officer Vela said yes. And said that the monies from Pasadena were to cover a hotel and informed Shore Acres of that. Was your statement, I'm just kind of confused, was your statement that there was a conflict from you speaking with Annie and what his written or his statement was here?
Yes, ma'am. The fact was I was trying to determine whether these two ladies understood that he was receiving monies from both government entities. And neither of these ladies gave me information that they knew that he was receiving money from the other aides.
Okay. And that, so on three occasions, you're saying that on three separate occasions, you gave Officer Vela opportunity to give you any kind of exoneration, any kind of call this person, see that, and you received absolutely nothing from him that would have been exonerating?
I wouldn't say absolutely nothing, but it was a chance for him to describe at length why he did what he did and give me any reasons. He didn't take the opportunity to fully explain.
Okay, and as far as the, I guess we're going by regulatory set per diem. Is that how this is working essentially?
It's normally GSA.
Okay, so Pasadena gave him $220 for lodging, correct?
I have to dig, but what you've got there is exactly what I've got, so if you're seeing that.
Okay. Is there anything against departmental procedure that specifically says that an officer cannot combine funds when he's operating in the same capacity for two separate entities to cover any expenses for training?
Ask me that again.
Okay, sorry. Is there anything in the police department policy and procedure manual, which I assume Officer Vela signed, that specifically states that if you're acting in a dual capacity, which he was doing by being a fire marshal for City of Shore Acres and then also with the City of Pasadena, is there anything that specifically precludes, as far as departmentally here in the Shore Acres, him from taking money from both entities to cover his expenses?
I don't think you're going to find that verbatim in policy, but there's also not a policy that prohibits him from taking our money for travel and then driving one of our police cars, too. It's just kind of common sense, if you will, or you know, there's not a policy to cover everything, or the policy book would be 18 feet deep. That's not covered verbatim, no matter.
Okay, and I just have one other thing, just for the record, for everyone here. Is there any way that we could actually have the definition of Fed File Public Servant read for the record instead of us talking about this elephant that's in the room without it being defined?
I think it was in the complaint, was it? Do you have the complaint you just read? Yeah, it is verbatim. This is, read the first paragraph of the. I'm sorry, I can read it as well. It's on the complaint here that from the CASO. This part.
Before we, the undersigned district attorney in Harris County, Texas, they appear an undersigned AFIP, who under oath says he has good reason to believe and does believe that Harris County, Texas, Danny Vela, here for stall defendant, hereafter or owner, about March 14, 2014, did then and there unlawfully, while a public servant, namely a volunteer firefighter with Pasadena Volunteer Fire Department, appropriate by acquiring and otherwise exercising control over property, to wit, cash money, owned by Teresa White, hereafter called the complainant, of a value of over $50 and less than $500, with the intent to deprive the complainant of the property, and said property came into the defendant's custody, possession, and control by virtue of his status as a public servant.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Moore?
I have no questions.
Mr. Bunker?
You said that you gave him three different occasions to justify doing what he did. I'm just curious to know what a justifiable answer would have been to you.
Honestly, there probably wasn't one. But had there been one that I had not thought of, I wanted him to have the opportunity to present.
In situations where the officer's spending money out of his own pocket for anything that's business, city business, are receipts required to get reimbursed for that money?
For lodging, it normally is. For meals, not so much. Mileages, we usually take it off MapQuest or something that's reliable and utilize that.
So if he's out in the patrolling and something happens and he needs to run to the hardware store and grab something to fix his car or something, would he need a receipt to get reimbursed for that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's it.
That's awesome. Mr. Adams, do you have any questions?
What was the total bill for the trip? Was it $464, including hotel, mileage, gas, meals? Is that
passage?
Well, if you look for Pasadena's, if you look at item number six, the City of Pasadena actually paid for everything. So if you look at that includes the mileage, the meals, and the lodging. So that's a pretty close number to your question, I think, with the exception of the registration for the school.
How much was the registration?
I don't recall. We did not pay it.
So between Pasadena and Shore Acres, that was a total of $744 in a check given to Officer Bell, if I understand, between the two entities.
That's close.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Mr. Webb?
No, I don't have any questions.
All right, sir. No further questions from the council?
I have one other question. There was an indication, I believe it was going back to item 17, where Officer Bailey was asked if he did, and he tried to put 12 hours of pay on his timesheet. Did I say that? Am I crazy? There it is. Did you attempt to claim 12 hours on your time card for March 28th? If so, what did that indicate? Is it normal policy that when an officer is at a training that they are off the clock because they're being paid for their training? Are they being paid for their time while they're being trained on top of the mileage, the meal per diem, and the lodging?
The situation is very different. I realize that because he was traveling both as a volunteer firefighter for the city of Pasadena as well as our fire marshal. I'm not sure what your question was, but his work schedule here would have had him working on Friday. He was paid for 12 hours on Friday, yet he did not physically work here that day. In fact, I covered a shift for him. And when the time came out, there was 12 hours on the timesheet for Friday.
Okay,
and,
you're saying that there was a discrepancy?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to present some information. Say closing arguments.
At that point,
I don't know that the ordinance will allow closing arguments, but Mr. Cagle has some evidence. I suppose that would.
If I say the ordinance, it doesn't go for closing. Actually, at this point, we make a decision. But if he has information, I think he needs to present it.
I had sent some documents to Norman, and I guess assuming he sent them to council, I don't know.
I think I sent them to council. So.
I brought copies, just on the off chance. And I think it's simple, but it's not. You have a copy, right, Norman? The city sent me a packet and it wasn't everything. It wasn't the entire investigation, but I think it deserves a little bit of an explanation. I want you to start, and these were some historical documents with the city of Pasadena, and what I was trying to show was how they did it or kind of how they didn't do it. But one of the things that Officer Vela said in his response, and that either wasn't asked of the secretary over at the city of Pasadena or is not included in her statement for whatever reason, was his contention that they backfilled these, meaning that as the firefighter, you would go to the school, they give you the check, and you'd go to the school, and you came back, and you'd hand them the receipt, and you had signed this document for your advance when they handed you the check. And so you come back and you hand her the hotel receipt. Well, she goes and she works all these numbers above the signature after you're gone. That's something that they do. And so what I did was, and this is interesting, is I went in just in the years past, the ones that I had, and I went to the total. So the first year, I think, which is 08, and it's hard to see. I like to cheat. My eyes and my hair are both gone. $396.25, well, $487.43 is what he spent. If you look at the numbers, meaning he spent over $100 more just on the hotel. You go to the next year, which I think is 2011, they gave him $451.50. He was $597.20 out of pocket, assuming just the expenses that you see on there are accurate. You go to the next year, which is 2012, the city gives him $462.75, $608.45 is how much he gets. And I want to back up then real quick because I think this is important and it supports what Officer Bella was saying in his responses. And sometimes it's hard, and this falls true for lawyers too, because I sit in my office and I try to write letters and I try to write briefs and I'm trying to convey a message. Sometimes you can't convey your message on paper. And I understand the chief's frustration because he was serving on in these interrogatories and then Bella's trying to answer them in writing. And these things aren't always... In writing is not always the best way to express yourself. Sometimes it's hard to put on paper what it is you're trying to say and to give a thorough explanation. But the chief has that opportunity. He has the opportunity to call him in and ask him questions because that's how we interrogate people. I've been a policeman for 27 years, and that's how we interrogate people. We bring them in and we talk to them. We don't send a bad guy a list of questions.
because then we don't get the answers either that we want, or we need an explanation, because sometimes a yes or no isn't enough. But I want to look at, if you go back to the 60845 where it's got mine, if you see I highlighted there, it says, if hotel bill was less than provided by city. You see the note right above what was my sticky, the 60845. That's because what Officer Vella was telling you was the truth of the way the city of Pasadena did the expenditures. They would give you the check. You would bring back the hotel bill. If the hotel bill was $220 or more, if you look up at the line I highlighted for lodging, if it was more than $220, you handed them the hotel bill and you were done. You never saw the backfill of the mileage and the handwritten information that she put on there. So you just left, even though you were technically upside down. So the irony is, I guess you really didn't know how far upside down you were because you never saw the sheet. But then they did the same thing. They left the same language on there the next year in 2012. But then as we get to the current year, for some reason they pulled that language off, meaning that the hotel receipt, it didn't really matter. But once again, even in 2014, Bell exceeded the 464 up to the 529.88. I don't think cops know, especially line level officers know, what the GSA mileage allowances are. I didn't know it until I started recently getting paid for mileage. I didn't realize that what the IRS allotment was or the GSA allotment. Of course, it doesn't pay for my expenses. It doesn't even come close to covering what it costs to operate a vehicle, but that's what the IRS has determined they'll give us. But irrespective, the city had to know, meaning the city of Shore Acres secretary had to know that he was receiving monies from somewhere else. I mean, that can't be a mystery, because the city of Shore Acres was getting the benefit of having a fire marshal who had to have this training because they were paying for the school. They, being Pasadena, is paying for the school. They, being Pasadena, are paying for the hotel. So the city secretary, or the person that they interviewed, Ms. Lincecum, to say, I didn't know he was getting any money, is either she's not being truthful, or she had absolutely no idea who's paying for the school. Just magically, he gets to go to a three-day school at College Station for free, meaning he has his own equipment. He's a volunteer firefighter. He's got his equipment, his clothing. I always hear the firemen say they generally have to throw their clothes, their underclothing, away after they go into one of these fire schools because the clothing is ruined. But I would ask that you listen, let Officer Vella explain the situation, how it worked to you, if you would indulge him for a few minutes, and he can ask any questions you like.
Not at this time.
You're not going to hear from him?
Representative only.
I don't know that he can get a fair shake if y'all won't hear from him. That's your meeting, not mine.
I think they're constrained by the ordinance. The ordinance doesn't forbid it. I think they already allowed you to provide an oral argument. And that's more than the ordinance permits already, so I certainly don't think the ordinance permits other witnesses.
Okay. Well, the DA's office chose the city of Pasadena as a complaining witness for a reason. I think because
I don't know if they allowed you to give that much oral argument. I think you said you're going to
oral argument
evidence.
Do I get?
I think you said you were going to present evidence.
How much did y'all get? I want the same amount y'all got. That's all I want. The same amount y'all got. Whatever it was.
But I'm not arguing at all. You said you wanted to talk about evidence. You give them the documents, and now you want to talk some more. But I think that you've already given the documents, and you're not an appropriate witness. Only the chief is the appropriate witness.
Well, I'm not allowed to call appropriate witnesses. So is that what we're at? Sir?
Sustain.
What's sustain?
I think you've given us enough information. We do need ample time to present the information. I'm sorry, I'm not a judge at law, so this is the first rodeo for me.
No, I'm not trying to make it into a court.
We
want to
make sure
my piece.
We have city ordinance that I have to go by also when we've looked at it. I believe you presented the information. What else do you have to present at this time?
I wanted to present Officer Bellin.
And according to what I was told and what I've read by our city ordinance, that cannot happen. You represent him. So I would be breaking the law myself.
As I understand, I'm not allowed to say anything else either. Said he was, he jumped up and cut me off. You said sustain.
I
need to where I'm at.
Well,
I think that the DA, if you look at the DA's office, the way they chose to charge the case, they chose to charge it as the city of Pasadena, as the complaining witness, not the city of Shore Acres.
Now, the probable cause, which has nothing to do with the charge, and I'm glad that, someone asked that the law be read, because the law means that, there's a complainant and that there's an amount, and that means the city of Pasadena, not the city of Shore Acres. I think once I am able to show that this document was in fact backfilled by the, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the way she did it, meaning the secretary of Pasadena, by backfilling it, but what I think it does is it takes away his culpability. Because what they're trying to impugn to him is that he knew he was getting a mileage allowance and he knew X amount was allotted for meals a day. And that's not the case. What he was told was, here's $462, and he knows that his hotel eats up 80% of that. And so then he gets the balance. No one ever broke it down for the firefighters and said, this is for X, this is for Y. So that takes, it's important to know that because it takes away the culpability. That's what I have there, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Giles.
I don't really know how to respond to all of the records and papers of bills from Pasadena for years gone by without any reference to what Mr. May was paid by other agencies and how he was being reimbursed. I certainly don't see how that's relevant to what we're here to deal with today. At the end of the day, Mr. Vela got paid $280 more money from the cities than it cost him to go to travel, to the training. He knew he got paid more than $280. No matter how it's cut up, no matter if it's mileage, hotel, or whatever, he got paid more money than he was due for the training. He didn't pay it back. He still hasn't paid it back. As to the criticisms of the investigation for not bringing in Mr. Vail and treating him like a criminal suspect, I don't believe that the chief should treat his policemen as criminal suspects and throw them in an interrogation room and interrogate them that way. He gave Officer Vail an opportunity to explain why does he thinks he should have $280 of the city's money and not pay it back. Mr. Vail has not shown any reason why he should have the city's money and not pay it back. Mr. Vail is not available to work in his capacity as a police officer. He's under a criminal charge. We don't know how long that's going to take for that criminal charge to be resolved. I think the chief told you that he doesn't believe that. He doesn't want the police officer, Shore Acres, to be under criminal charges while they're doing duties of as a policeman here. And there's no telling how long it's going to be before he's going to be able to actually perform his duties. The problem is not Mr. Vela's answers to the questions the chief posed to him, like the argument that Mr. Cable was presenting, it's not about Mr. Vela getting paid from two different places. The problem is not getting paid from two different places. The problem is getting paid from two different places more money than the training cost. That's where the problem lies. And we keep hearing the argument, well, he only got paid this much from Pasadena, or Pasadena only paid this much money this year, but that doesn't really go to the pertinent issue as to all of the money that Mr. Vela received. And we've never heard, even to this moment, why it is that Mr. Vela did not commit a theft from the city of Shore Acres. Thank you, ladies.
We need to ask a little motion. First of all, not a motion.
You don't need a motion.
You need a motion. And a second.
Well, the facts have been presented from both councils. This time, so we'll take a motion. What's the motion on the floor?
I'll make a motion to sustain the action taken by the chief.
Motion for Mr. Moyer to sustain the action. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Do we have a second? This time, basically, the questions have already been asked. The council has asked what the questions. So we're going to take a vote. Once again, I'll remind the council, I'll read these two sentences out. If the council finds the answer to the question is no, it should sustain Mr. Vail's appeal, and his discharge will be reversed. council finds the answer to this question yes, it should deny Mr. Bailey's appeal. So instead of aye and nay, I will use the words no and yes. So at this time, all those with the no.
You should restate the motion. The motion is to sustain the chief's dismissal of the officer.
So the motion be sustained the chief's dismissal of the officer. So we have that motion on the floor.
So a yes vote is to
A yes
sustain dismissal.
That's correct. My mistake.
All those in favor?
Okay, hold on.
Yes would be to sustain the dismissal and deny the appeal.
Correct.
Okay.
The motion was to sustain the chief's dismissal. So
I just want to make sure we get it correct. I don't want to make a mistake here.
A yes vote will be to confirm the dismissal.
Okay. And a no vote will be not.
Yes.
So do we ask individually or? All those in favor? Yes.
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 All those against? No. Yes has it. So at this time, Mr. Bailey's appeal basically has been denied. At this time, we're going to adjourn at 6:56. Thank you.